Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 2, we were taught nothing in the Word of God is unimportant. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
In Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, we have an example of this. Jesus is talking about the tithe there. And he says, this is what you ought to have done. But then he mentioned judgment, mercy, and faith. They are more important. He uses the word weightier. They are more important than the tithe. He says you tithe of anise, mint, and cumin. But he says you shouldn't, he didn't say you shouldn't do that. He said, you ought to have done this. But he said it's more important. Some things are more important. I mean, it is right that I love my neighbor as myself, but I think it's more important that I'm saved. Okay? So some things are more important than the Bible for us. But that doesn't mean that not loving my neighbor as myself is unimportant to God. It is. It's very important. So these are more important than the tithe. But if you've got people out there teaching against the tithe, and they don't do that, the Bible says they are least in the kingdom. If you give to another ministry, as we started out today, instead of your local church, thereby robbing it, and you, instead of sending your tithe to your church, you give your tithe as well as an offering to another ministry, he's saying you are least. Now again, you can give an offering. That's above a tithe. But a tithe goes to your local church. And if you're not willing, you're least in heaven. Not say you're not saved, but says you're least in heaven. Now, I'm just saying that as a messenger of God, you see, because these are his words, not mine. It's his doctrine, not mine. But I believe his doctrine. I believe it. Oh, I believe it. Now, he said not even a jot or tittle would pass away before heaven and earth. It is preserved forever without error. That's the meaning of the idea of pure, purified seven times. Nothing, my friend, should be ignored or considered unimportant in the Word of God. Never, never, never compromise this precious Word for the culture, for the family, or for personal acceptance with others. Never do that. Now, the Word of God is not bound, even by our human weakness. A preacher can have a bad week. It can be full of pain and illness. But the Word of God is not ill. What will become of the congregation when a certain minister dies? Well, that minister will be dead, but the Word of God is not dead. Always be sure. You remember that church the next man holds to the Word of God, as it is to men as they are, that he holds to the right Bible, and that he believes that it is preserved and inerrant. And don't let them get around it. There have been people that are actually taught to give these answers. Do you believe in election, that some are predestined to heaven, some are predestined to hell? And they'll say, hey, listen, I want our church to be the most missionary-minded church in town, even in the state. They didn't give a direct answer. You see, they can say we can be very missionary-minded, but they're not saying the same thing as, yes, I believe that Calvinism is right, or no, Calvinism is wrong. They're not saying it. They gave you an answer. You see, the devil is always a deceiver. When people seek to deceive you, you know that that's not of God. Now, again, looking at this passage, the worker may be feeble, but the word of God is not feeble. The worker may feel stupid, but God's word is not stupid. Now, let me just stop and interject something here. There are people that look at the word stupid almost like they do a cuss word, and yet it's not a cuss word, it's not a slang. And I find that interesting, because they can sit and watch television, and they'll hear all kind of four-letter words. But, you know, if I could take you back to the 60s television, early 60s, late 50s, those words were not allowed. But for some reason or other, stupid was. Now, stupid is bad, even to many Christians. But those other cuss words, what's the big deal? You see, political correctness has got into many of your homes. It's one of the great workings of the devil. Now, a worker can be unfit, but the Word of God is not unfit. We can bitterly and truthfully lament that Christian men today seem devoid of zeal. Many hearts are cold. And the fires that do burn, burn low. But, oh, my friend, the Word of God is not cold. It's not lukewarm. And it has not lost its consuming fire. Therefore, witness the Word of God to the lost. It is so awful to think of the spiritual ruin of so many around us who mock and deride and reject the gospel they've heard so many times. They die in their sins. They are bound by their sins like the beast and the false prophet will be in that eternal lake of fire of which Revelation 19 refers to them as well as Revelation 20. But the Word of God is not bound. So we've seen the Christian worker bounded. Christ's word unbounded. But look at verse 10. Because we see the Christian's broad call. Again, he says there, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, that call is to endure all things for the elect's sake. Although we suffer greatly and we're not appreciated, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the glory it means to me as His child, the glory it is throughout all eternity. The church can go out into this world, as the Apostle Paul demonstrated with his own life, and implores Timothy to do the same. We can go out and spread the gospel, enduring all things to do so, always leaning on those everlasting arms, always seeking the power of God. You know, the word endure, as it appears here, that I endure all things. It's from a Greek word meaning to remain under, not break away from the load. The idea is that we don't seek to break away from the load of trial, troubles, or torture by abandoning the gospel, by keeping our mouths shut. We see what is meant in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, and in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 1. There it says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And my friend, don't get thrown off by the terminology for the elect's sake. The elect are not a fixed number chosen arbitrarily by absolute decree. For whom alone Christ died, and those only. Or to whom only the serious call is made. And then they are saved by some irresistible grace that even if they didn't want to be, they couldn't help it, they'd get saved. No. God testifies to all men without distinction. Christ died for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, verse 2 says, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3, 9 tells us. He invites all to rest. He offers peace to all who are weary and heavy laden. No one's excluded. Instead of focusing on the elect's sake, focus on the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Oh, my friend, that's our V vitamin. Elect or election is not a statement of purpose. Instead, as the church of the firstborn, it is a title of dignity and honor. It's what Christ does for us. How? The moment we're saved, he baptizes us into the body of Christ by his Holy Spirit. By salvation, he sets aside my old nature and he elects my new nature. He doesn't clean the old nature. He gives me a new nature. An election secures my salvation forever. God did it for whosoever will. Do your part. Witness the gospel, because Jesus Christ's cross and his resurrection was for all of us. Some say, well, didn't election take place before the foundation of the world? Yes, it did. And the cross took place about 2,000 years before most of us were born. And so, my friend, understand, election was something just like the cross. The blood was shed for every person. Election was for every person. But election nor the blood is applied until we receive it. And it's not a conscious reception. The moment that what's a conscious reception is receiving Christ as Savior, and then the blood cleanses our sin, and we are elected, we are baptized into the body of Christ.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no grace. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.